Around the NFL podcast does not advertise on other podcasts.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast presented by New Era. My name is Dan Hansis, joined in room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What is up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
We have some football to talk about this morning, and isn't that exciting, Mr. Sessler?
It is. Wes and I were here last night covering these games, and I kind of feel like I missed the vibe of covering six or seven games all at once. It was quite fun.
I think DJ Moore's catch and run, where he looked like Percy Harvin, really put me in the football mood for the first time all year.
That's like the flow of the preseason. Like two tweets stand out to me with the preseason. There's like 17 different days where people are like, football is back. Like there's all these different, it's like now they're tackling, now they're at OTA. Last night was one of those nights. And then another one was just kind of like the flow of the preseason. You're always excited for the first week. And then by the time you get to the third week, which is actually the one that matters, then people really aren't paying that close attention.
Well, the novelty wears out very quickly with August football.
It was cool.
How did Mark handle the newsroom yesterday?
I thought he handled it really well. That's
good.
Really was
That's
not,
a good sign. It's a good
was
start.
Not annoyed, was not on edge. I saw people even come to him. And you know how he doesn't like people like wanting to do water cooler talk about the Browns?
Nope.
He handled it well. People stopped by, and he wasn't like – you didn't see him noticeably on edge or anything.
No, he didn't. He wasn't tense in the shoulders.
No, I thought Mark handled it very well.
I think the newsroom in general was well-behaved for the most part last night.
There were some disruptions this morning that felt like they were more on your radar.
There is – I will say there are one or two new found presences in our newsroom that are on my
radar.
Just to monitor.
On your radar in a big way. And, in fact – though these new people, and I think it. Listen, let's keep it real. It's really one person, and I think without saying who it is, that person better hope this Browns season does not go sideways.
They better. There's a lot riding on a lot of things.
To your point, Greg, and to just speaking about the excitement of actual football, even if it doesn't count. This from Lindsay Rhodes. We got to get back in the studio of NFL Network. The top 17 U.S. trends right now are NFL related for preseason games in which almost no starters are still playing. So people like football, despite some people like to lead you in a different direction. People don't like football as much anymore. People no longer are into football. They've changed their viewpoint on football. Football's okay.
I did see four or five trends centered around regular season Major League Baseball in there, too, though.
It was, what, after the 17?
No, I'm kidding. I did not see anything about baseball.
You know what was...
Because it's the top 17.
No, I'm saying there. Yeah. I was suggesting that actually five of those, you know, some baseball snuck in, no baseball snuck in.
You know what was noticeable by its absence? Through 4 or 5 hours in the newsroom last night covering all these games, I didn't hear the helmet roll once.
That's a good point.
That's nice.
Not one.
Maybe it was a Hall of Fame thing, and then
there was
like,
an ejection, which I think if it had happened on the Hall of Fame game, it would have stood out. But you're right; there wasn't.
The ejection?
For using
Shamarco
his helmet.
Shamarco Thomas. And Frank Reich of the Colts said after the game that was absolutely the right call.
Right.
We shouldn't have hit like that. We'll have to teach him up.
It seemed like a pretty clear call, but it's just something new that. Someone would get kicked out of the game for a hit.
Okay, so we're going to keep it simple here. There were 12 games played on Thursday night.
Never heard of such a preseason night. I think
this
is a
lot.
First thing.
My beloved Jets play tonight, and I guess a small handful of other teams will as well. But most teams played on Thursday, so we're just going to go through each of the games and share, first and foremost, the final score and just kind of take a look at where the standings are in the preseason, who's out to a hot start. Who maybe is all of a sudden in a sneaky must-win place entering week two. So let's just get into it. Let's go through each game, and we'll start. Why don't we hit up one of the big rookie hot shots? So let's go to Buffalo, where the Carolina Panthers and Buffalo Bills began their preseasons. And you know what? Even before the game, some fireworks. You know, you got Hard Knocks and all that excitement. But how about a little buzz between Cam Newton and Kelvin Benjamin? A reporter was lucky enough to be on the field right when Cam approached Kelvin Benjamin. Cam had a look of, you know, a little bit of a look of confrontation and stuck his hand out, and Benjamin kind of blew off the handshake. So this, of course, comes after Benjamin had badmouthed Cam and said he essentially was holding his career back. So fun little saucy soap opera there to get into this game.
I thought Cam handled it well. I liked seeing that.
Yeah.
And I noticed that he
Benjamin did not handle it.
No,
well.
He didn't. I noticed Cam
he surprised them. I think it was
Cam
a sneak
just
attack.
Casually dismissed the third player hanging on the periphery.
I think it was Thomas Davis.
It was Thomas Davis.
Yeah.
That's
just
an NFL
him.
Man of the Year. He was like, yeah. "Get out of here!"
Yeah,
Thomas
yeah. he's
Davis.
Like, "Get out of here!" You know this confrontation is coming. And I thought Cam handled it well. He handled it strongly, and Kelvin Benjamin sort of danced around and tried to get away.
Well, and if you're Benjamin, you started this.
Right.
Publicly.
Just speak to the man.
And you're, well, right. And you're the one now holding on to the grudge or whatever's going on here. And so it's a much heavier weight on Kelvin Benjamin. I thought Cam Newton did what he could do in that situation. It takes a lot of courage and just to be a man to walk up to someone. You've said this about to me. Let's sort it out face to face. And Benjamin shrugs him off, please.
All right. So let's – and we'll get to the Panther side of it. But let's start with the Bills and Josh Allen because Allen is a guy that we were told, Wes – has all the tools in the world, including an arm that is pretty much unmatched. And we saw that in this game. He wasn't perfect. His stats were very close to being outrageous because he just missed on a couple of deep bombs. But this guy, you can understand why Bills fans have a lot of excitement after one preseason game.
I thought he came as advertised. He electrified the crowd. He is an eye-catching, arresting talent to watch. And I don't know if I've ever seen a player come into the league as a top 10 draft pick and already be written off by such a large segment of the football watching public as a bust before he even ever plays a game. I thought he looked very promising. His arm strength is undeniable. He's raw. There's certain things he has to work on, and maybe he won't start in week one. But if I'm a Bills fan watching this game, I am entranced, bordering on hopeful.
Well, and it translates because the television share in Buffalo, this Buffalo Bills preseason game, and it spiked when Josh Allen took the field, is the highest rated television show in Western New York all summer. And it speaks to the drought there, quarterback-wise, the fascination around a guy whose arm talent, you can talk about Jay Cutler, Matthew Stafford.
Not a lot of good TV options.
Well, no, but the ball coming out of Josh Allen's hands just looks completely almost like science fiction to me. And by the way, this quarterback room getting ripped on all summer in its one preseason performance, all three of them perform pretty well.
Nathan Peterman, 9 for 9, 119 yards and a touchdown. A.J. McCarron, 7 for 10 for 116. So, yes, everyone looked pretty good.
Kelvin Benjamin with a pretty great touchdown celebration, jumping into the crowd backwards. I mean, I appreciated that. The Josh Allen showed a little bit of everything. He showed not being totally composed, but he also made great throws. They didn't score their first four or five possessions with him, but it's with third-teamers. That's all you're looking for is what Chris said, I think, in a preseason game, because you're not going to draw these huge conclusions. The fact that he had two or three passes that were beauts and for the most part just handled himself well, it's like, great, let's move on to the next one.
I mean, he effortlessly throws the ball 70 yards.
Well, you have to go back about 50 years for this comparison, but stylistically, I told you this last night, Mark, he throws the ball and moves like Greg Cook, the Bengals legend who was injured his rookie year after one of the greatest rookie years of all time, and Bill Walsh has said this guy's the greatest talent ever to play the position. He throws the ball and moves like Greg Cook.
It's interesting because he hasn't gotten first-team reps over the last week and a half, so I will be curious to see if that changes, if they give him any better of a chance to actually win this starting job, because right now he hasn't been playing with the starters.
Wes, Cam Newton got a little bit of playing time, finished with a completion percentage right around 67%. Back in May, you laughed at Norv saying he can get Newton in the high 60s. So perhaps it's time for you to eat a little crow, yes or no?
Yeah. If we're judging after one preseason game, Norv comes out on the winning end there.
DJ Moore.
That's very big of you, Wes.
Like, you're right. Just seeing that one or a couple of those plays from DJ Moore just makes you excited to watch DJ Moore. You know?
That was my number one takeaway of the night. As much as Josh Allen and Baker Mayfield and Antonio Callaway looked good, DJ Moore with that move that you just don't see from many NFL players.
Let's move on and take a look at Andrew Luck. He played a football game, ladies and gentlemen. Wes, Luck played in his first game since the finale of the 2016 season and didn't do much, 6 of 9, 64 yards, but also did – did something which I think is more important even than throwing the ball. He took a couple of hits and showed no signs of issues with the injured shoulder or the repaired shoulder.
Yeah, quite the contrast with Josh Allen, who really let it rip on several different throws and was unafraid to go attack down the field. Luck either didn't have the opportunity or just didn't pull the trigger on those letter rip throws that would have shown you like a huge confidence in his shoulder. On the other hand, there were no plays where you didn't feel confident in his shoulder. And he said, I feel good about more of the short and the medium game than I do about trying to throw deep balls. It's not a physical limitation. It sounds like that still might be knocking the rust off mentally on that.
He said after the game, I tried to control my emotions. Then I said, screw it. I really had fun. I enjoyed it. Just like his joy of playing and having it being taken away from him, that we're getting into intangibles here. But you do wonder, he's a more mature guy since this injury. He's been in the league a while. You do wonder just how that all comes together and whether that's going to maybe help him have like a better year than ever. Just like enjoying the process of it and knowing how lucky he is to be back.
Anything from the Seattle side?
Chris Carson looked good.
Chris Carson.
He looks good always in the preseason. And we haven't talked about it on this podcast, but he has been the starting running back throughout training camp over Rashad Penny, their first-round pick. They're also playing Trey Flowers, who's a rookie cornerback, as a starter right now. He played the
There's another Trey Flowers in the league?
There's another Trey Flowers, except no Y on the end of Trey. So they have more starting jobs open, I think, than any other team in the league right now. Running back, wide receiver, a lot of their offensive line, some of the defensive line.
That's how Carroll likes it.
Like cornerback, he does. And then the Colts, one quick thing is just that they've lost their left tackle, Anthony Costanzo. They're playing Joe Haig, at left tackle.
The Netherlands?
Who's their backup center, who was playing center most of the game, left tackle for part of it. They picked up Jamarcus Webb. Luck got sacked when he blew a block. And so that you do get a little worried that it's like same old Colts if Costanzo.
Well, they
does
also
not come
lost
back.
Marlon Mack went down, and Deion Kane left with a knee injury, just and injuries to monitor.
When you say they lost Costanzo, it's a hamstring injury. It's not like they lost him for the season.
No, but he missed almost the entire offseason with that hamstring injury, got activated, and then got hurt 2 days later. So he has been coming back from that for about 6 months, and that's, if I'm a Colts fan, that freaks me out because they don't really have a backup.
And Philip Walker added a 10-yard touchdown pass to Darryl Daniels early in the fourth quarter. They needed it. Indianapolis held on for a 19-17 win.
Philip Walker!
Over the Seahawks. And that's a big win. If you can go
that
to the
really
clink.
Is.
If you can go on the road to the clink and come out with a victory.
That's how you get your preseason started off correctly and the momentum to carry you through the next 3 weeks to finish that
preseason
with a good record.
And I know this is not the same Seahawks defense. I understand it. But when you can go into Seattle, you make a statement.
Well, the thing about the preseason, it's kind of like college football almost boiled down even further. It's like every game matters because when you're 0-1, your season's almost over for the Seahawks. Their backs are right now against the wall. They only have three
more
games.
It's a four-game season.
Need it. Need it.
It's a four-game season.
Yeah. They're a quarter of the way to infamy. All right, moving on. The Chicago Bears and Cincinnati Bengals played football. And, Wes, I'm going to tee up again here because I know you are a lapsed Catholic. You're also a lapsed Bengals fan. So I wanted to see you often – laugh at the Bengals and their putrid offense last season. But this team, forget about the pick six, this team looks like they're going to be able to move the ball. Yes or no?
I would use recovered rather than lapsed in both of those instances. But yes, the Bengals offense looked good. The pick six came on a play in which John Ross slipped and fell and would not have been an interception otherwise. That's just bad luck. That's not even Andy Dalton doing anything wrong. So, to me, they moved the ball well. John Ross looked good. Joe Mixon had a play, a touchdown where he slipped a tackle, did a spin move, slipped another tackle, and got in for the score. This looks like a much better offense than last year.
It's almost like you look around the entire AFC North, and Pittsburgh is going to stay obviously what they are. But I thought the Bengals and Ravens last year had obvious issues on offense and were tough to watch at times. Cleveland was a raging disaster. All of those three teams in the AFC North have a lot more going on offense. It feels like a division that's going to produce another three playoff teams again. And I base that entirely on preseason games from last night.
Mixon and the offensive line, the combination of those two improving, which I think they both will, changes everything for Andy Dalton and the rest of the team.
My one Bears takeaway, I'm not sure exactly what this means, but Kevin White was targeted twice on the opening drive, so maybe they're seeing him as a guy who has a chance to start.
Mitchell Trubisky didn't play in the first week. They had -1 yard in 8 plays with him on the field.
He was not happy with that offense after.
And he's had some struggles in training. I don't think
we nervous at all about that?
No.
That
gentleman? No.
I don't think they barely played him last year.
Yeah, I mean, he only played 8 plays.
2 for 4, 4 yards, sacked once in 2 series.
A lot of hype around Trubisky this offseason.
Missing a couple of the starters. Adam Sheehan, who is just a big dude, and they seem to be talking him up as a guy that could have a big part of their offense, look pretty good at the tight end.
The big assumption in this offseason, as we know, the Bears have been hype bunnies, is that they're going to kind of follow on some level the Rams' path. But that a lot of that hinges on Mitch Trubisky being able to do what Jared Goff did last year, which is to take all the rookie bumps and then just become a much more complete quarterback. We have to see if he can pull that
off.
And
he's a year ago at this time, he was kind of like the Josh Allen that the football cognoscenti wrote off before his career even started.
So it's the pause. Oh, wait, that's my
cognoscenti.
One note here, the Bengals off to a 1-0 start here in the preseason. Mm. If you remember,
yes.
I believe it was some sort of sandwich wager where I believe that I said 5 teams would finish undefeated in the preseason. And the Bengals are one of those teams that I'm tracking to accomplish.
You got half. You're going to have half the league after the first week, so that's pretty. That's
you.
Pretty good.
I'm off to a fine start.
Also, Roquan Smith has been holding out for 24
days.
This
is ridiculous.
It's really ridiculous. It's the Bears. I'm blaming the Bears.
You'll make a million to play a boys game.
No, I'm blaming the Bears.
I don't think we need like a low-level mafia figure to get in here at this point. We need the agent to do something.
Stupid.
You're making billions to run a football team.
Go back, mafia man. We need a functioning.
What side am I supposed
never
to be on
no.
here?
We need a licensed agent to step in and handle this. Thank you.
Cincinnati 30, Bears 27. Moving on. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Miami Dolphins showdown with the state of Florida on the line. It was, speaking of return to action, Ryan Tannehill, who we have not seen.
What about the Jags?
They're just chilling.
I think the winner of this play is
gets
the Jags.
The Jags. Yeah. Yes, a bye. The Jags got a bye. Anyway, Ryan Tannehill, first game action since December 11, 2016. Where were you, Mark? Probably unhappy about the Browns.
2016? I mean, it's like feels like 3 weeks ago. Probably here, slightly annoyed with a lot of things.
he, in limited work, of course, 4 of 6, 32 yards, only one series. But, Greg, that's all you're looking for, a guy coming back from a major knee injury. He got on the field, shook off some rust, and is healthy.
Yeah, that everything so far, he's checked all the boxes. I'm more worried about everything around him. I mean, because he's not a guy that's going to lift up the players around him. Devontae Parker's reportedly had a really bad training camp and dominated by Xavier Howard. He was absent. Like David fails and is beating Brock Osweiler for the backup job right now. So I think there's concerns, and I think the Dolphins fans share it, because if you looked in the crowd last night, they announced 30,000. That place looked empty. And the scrimmage that they had last weekend, which definitely raised some eyebrows for locals, had about like 4,000 or 5,000 people show up for like a free scrimmage. And that's the type of thing in a big NFL town, you're getting 30, 40, 50, you know, of course, like Lambeau's literally packed out months in advance with that sort of thing. And they got 5,000, and last night was, there's not a lot of buzz right
it's
now.
It's a weird
when
sports
we were growing
town.
Up, I mean, Miami's been played, they're sort of like Los Angeles,
but
it
they're
is,
in
it's
a,
August in South Beach. There's, you're, are
fair.
You going to go to a 200 degree hot dolphin scrimmage? Or are you going to go to the beach and have that kind of a time? I might go do that.
Go to all the hot nightclubs.
Well, that too. Make a whole day of it.
It's a weird sports town. The Marlins draw like 1,200 people a game. The Dolphins seem. I mean,
the Dolphins.
Dolphins
are, it's
games
a Dolphins
clear
town,
out in the fourth
though,
quarter.
But
too.
I
it
think
is,
right now they're not an inspiring outfit.
I think the Heat do pretty well there, but obviously with LeBron it was different. But yeah. Anyway, something to track on the Bucks side. I just will throw it out there that, because you know I'm plugged in on the kicker situation for all 32. They had 3 kickers last year, the Bucks, including our boy Robbie and Folk. Both those guys are history. Chandler Cannizzaro, who did a nice job for the Jets last year, but let's not go crazy. Got a lot of money from the Bucks to solidify the position. He immediately misses an extra point and a 50-yard field goal. So, you know, let's hope that Cannizzaro doesn't
have the
curse.
Didn't he hit the game winner, though?
Maybe
he won the game. He won the preseason game, Dan.
Did I miss that he won the game?
According to Greg,
I think he hit the game winner.
By the way, Ronald Jones.
I don't feel bad.
Tough rush from the
kicker. I mean, he still missed a couple kicks, but yeah, he had.
Well, how long was the kick that he
26
made?
26 yards.
Oh, come on. That's an extra point. That's less than an extra point.
The pressure, though.
Did we want to see a little more from Ronald Jones? 8 rushes for 9 yards.
No, that's exactly what they were
looking
for.
That's what you were hoping for? Okay. Well, good job, Ronald Jones at USC.
26-24.
They're almost starting 3 rookies in the secondary right now. That secondary has been one of the worst in the league, and they are counting on a pair of rookies at cornerback and maybe one at safety to play some significant snaps.
Well, they're, they're undefeated.
To your point, though, a couple, it is weird to roll out Jameis Winston second in these games.
It's just strange.
It's just an awkward – you don't see this in the NFL.
All right, now this is why Mark is here today.
3rd and 4. Mayfield with a bullet. Callaway in the open. And a touchdown.
Baker Mayfield to Antonio Callaway. 70 yards, was it?
I believe it was.
What a big-time
56
strike.
56 or so.
56 yards. The Cleveland Browns got 2 touchdown passes from the number 1 overall pick. Baker Mayfield in a 2010 win over the Giants. And, Mark, I would imagine that combined with Tyrod Taylor looking really good is a perfect way to start your preseason.
Well, I mean, you know, the stat that they've thrown around endlessly is that Cleveland has, what, 11 first-round picks that are no longer on the team. So the customary experience is around game 1, 2, or 3 of the preseason, if not deep into September, you realize – this guy is not who we thought he was, or the team thought he was, or the fleet of scouts thought he was when picked. And so Mayfield comes out and produces a quick 3 and out right away. And I thought, all right, you know, I'm not going to, you know, this is, it's a little early to judge, but that wasn't inspiring. The second drive, though, he started to show what I thought was drive extending abilities, which was seeing the field. Not just looking off your first guy, which a rookie might do in his first game, but maybe throwing to the, you know, second or third option. Two, I thought, brainy kind of choices to run the ball out of the pocket and extend and get and move the chains on a third down and a critical fourth down, and really making a touchdown, a couple throws on that drive, but the touchdown throw to David Njoku was put in a place where no one but David Njoku could catch it. It was a perfectly placed ball. And, you know, we're covering the game and it's happening so fast. We're writing it up. I thought that Brian Baldinger, Baldy, put together a reel this morning of what he saw, and he called it one of the better preseason performances he'd ever seen by a rookie quarterback. So I clicked in, obviously, to see what was going on there. But he really, I thought, elucidated with each of these throws that Baker Mayfield is in a different place than any previous Browns rookie that I've ever seen since maybe Bernie Kosar.
Whew. I love it.
Just his ability to see the field and what he's doing feels like, I think he's been taught very well from the college game on up versus previous quarterbacks they've had, like a Johnny Manziel.
Like the last thing you think watching him is he's coming from sort of some offense that doesn't translate to the NFL. It's the total opposite. He looks so comfortable. His footwork, like his feet are just awesome to watch. I mean, I'm kind of with Baldy. I mean, it's just a preseason game, but that's what you want to see, is some things that just make you excited. And I can't imagine like getting more excited off of that performance.
And Tyrod Taylor, 5 of 5 for 99 yards. And that, we know what we're getting in Tyrod Taylor. Like he is a steady guy. And I tweeted this last night. God has a sense of humor. I believe in Baker Mayfield. I know who Tyrod Taylor is. They have 2 competent quarterbacks. This coming off 20 years where they had 0. So now the decision is for Hugh. And by the way, let me just make a quick aside. I don't think in the court of public opinion that the Hard Knocks premiere was on balance good for the Browns. I thought especially Hugh Jackson took a lot of fire. It was nice for them now to have this preseason game where the quarterbacks look great. All of a sudden, you know, it's not open season on your Brownies, Mark, because they, again, you look at them again like, oh, wow, this might be a team with a future. The decision now for Hugh Jackson is how long do you wait before Baker Mayfield's a starter? Because if he continues to look good, just like with the Jets and Darnold, if the young kid looks good, what are you waiting for?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the kind of decision if you're an NFL coach you'd much rather have than what they've been faced with in that city for years and years, and they'll figure that out. But, I mean, when you have a good quarterback, one thing that I noticed, because watching a lot of these skill position players in Cleveland that have just been there and they're floating through the year, that a guy like David Njoku suddenly has 2 touchdowns and looks athletic and is in the right place, and Antonio Callaway looked fantastic. It's like a quarterback that knows where to put the ball, everyone around him starts to look better. That simply hasn't happened in Cleveland for a long time. Their running game was an absolute disaster, so they're going to need to throw the ball if it stays looking like that.
I can't remember the last Browns player I was excited for as much as Baker Mayfield. It might not be since Tim Couch.
Brandon Whedon?
Maybe Tim Couch.
I don't think it was
Brandon Whedon.
It wasn't Brandon Whedon.
Brandon Whedon is still in the league, by the way.
And he is.
He's backing up Deshaun Watson.
In Houston last night. And yes, a qualifier. Yes, yes, yes. Don't tweet at me or any of us. Oh, yeah, way to overreact. Game one of the pre. F you. Let's just have some fun and enjoy how these guys look
in
real time.
You're looking for trade. We're not saying it's going to translate, but it's still hard to make those throws that he's making.
That's all we're focusing on.
Yes.
Right.
You don't see that. You also, I thought that on the Njoku touchdown, the easier one, you were reminded why the Rams traded Alec Ogletree. Which is kind of like an under-the-radar move that happened this offseason, and he struggles in coverage, and that's something I think for the Giants to walk.
Speaking of the Giants, this was the first carry of Saquon Barkley's NFL career.
Barkley gets the first touch. Barkley makes a few miss. That's why he was second overall, out across the 50 and chased out at the Browns' 48-yard line. A 39-yard run on his first touch.
Well, all right, so that's a radio call that, you know, nice job there, but that does not at all describe what you witnessed, which was him taking the handoff, patiently watching the line, shifting to his right, burning past Emmanuel Ogba, right through the heart of the Browns' defense and up the right sideline with
incredible
speed.
Avoided three tackles to get into open speed.
It was a beautiful space. Run. Now, nothing came close to it after. He really was shut down on his next three carries, but who cares? It was a little bit of a flash forward to what it's a thing like, oh, the Giants, how long have they been without a ground game? How many eons will pass before it's zero help? You're getting 39 yards a game from that backfield. It's a completely different element, and it makes them more interesting to watch. That's all you want.
Odell Beckham not even on the field yet as they ease him back into action after the broken ankle last year. You can understand why people get excited about the Giants if these two guys are on the field at the same time.
I feel like all of these teams that have been doormats have given us reasons to be excited, and that's unusual this early in the
preseason. That's why I think we focus the show on this one preseason week, because a lot it is just one game. Like, these players are dotted on teams that have been in desperate situations for a long time.
Could be next week they all fall on their faces
likely.
Yeah. Two more quick Browns notes before we move on. Dez Bryant was tweeting again yesterday after John Dorsey, the Browns GM, said that Dez wasn't returning phone calls. He said, "I'm getting there. He'll be there, I guess, next week for a meeting," according to Rap Sheet. And more importantly, the number one source for all things QB judgment related, the top scout, I feel like, in this country, Mark Wahlberg, he had something to say on his Instagram.
Going to win at 4 a.m. club with my boy Baker Mayfield. First preseason game. 11 for 20, 212 yards, two touchdowns, getting after number 6. Come on, Cleveland got another star.
Goosebumps, Mark?
I enjoyed watching that this morning.
No, Mark Wahlberg's comments.
Oh,
you mean?
No, yeah,
you enjoyed watching that.
I watched that because you put that into our direct messaging client this morning, and I looked at it and I thought, initially I thought he was making a joke that there were other stars on the Browns that he was been tracking, but he meant LeBron. It was early, so.
Okay. Moving on. Ooh, a tough way to begin the defense of their Super Bowl title. The Philadelphia Eagles get waxed. Whoa, 31-14.
Well, Adrian Peterson got a figure.
Whoa, 31-14 win for the Steelers. A game that no Carson Wentz, obviously. Did Nick Foles play?
No.
Does anybody know anything about this game?
No,
because I don't.
I have one or two minor notes, but Nick Foles.
Give me a couple nugs, bro.
Well, it's more on the Steelers side. I think that Mason Rudolph has a nice arm. I think he could be their quarterback. He'll slip right in when Big Ben goes.
You heard those draft Knicks. There were a handful of them that liked Mason Rudolph more than some of those top four quarterbacks that got taken at the top of the draft. Not many of them, and certainly NFL teams didn't agree because he fell so far.
Many other notes, if I'm gathering.
Yeah, the Eagles, by the way, as we know, Trey Burton left in free agency. They brought in Dallas Goedert. 4 for 66 and a touchdown. You imagine that he might be a guy that can make an instant impact for that offense. Eagles are going to be fine. They're going to get over this loss but it's going to take some time.
Sidney Jones is just someone I've been tracking during training camp. Was a second-round pick that people thought could have been a top 15 pick at cornerback a year ago. Missed his entire rookie season because of that injury. And everyone's liked how he's looked at camp. He was their starting slot guy last night. And so that's a team I think actually can be better in the secondary than they were a year ago.
Moving on, the New Orleans Saints and Jacksonville Jaguars. So the Jags had the bye in the Who is the King of Florida. So that just to pass the time, they went up against the Saints on Thursday. And Cody Kessler, this is a guy to watch here because we all know Blake Bortles' struggles. And then everybody's like, oh, Cody Kessler, everybody, myself included. Is that a real guy to be a backup in case things go sideways for Blake Bortles, in case he gets hurt? Remember, this is a team that is very close to being a Super Bowl team in Jacksonville. Well, he looked apart, Mark Sessler, 14 of 17, 139 and a touch against the Saints on Thursday night.
He reeled off a couple practices lately, too, where he had these sort of 9-for-9 with a two-touchdown type thing. The bigger story for me, because I think, again, it's Blake Bortles is going to live with this until he doesn't, is constantly doubted for appropriate reasons and others. And he came out, I thought, in the first drive and looked good, converted a nice third-down pass to D.D. Westbrook, ran in for a touchdown, 6-for-9, 53 yards. I mean, the offense looked competent. They rolled right through the Saints' defense on that first drive. Then they all fled the field. I don't know what else to make of the game. The Saints, to me, no Drew Brees, not overly impressive on defense. Let's start there.
The word from Saints camp is like they've had the best camp for a defense that they've had in a long, long time. And on paper, it is a better defense. They're deeper at linebacker. It's the youngest secondary in NFL history, I believe, or in the last 7 or 8 years, a year ago, and they're all growing up and should be better. I don't know what to take from this one.
But Greg, you're coming off a big 24-20 preseason loss. You have to circle the wagons if you're the Saints now. Look inside yourselves. The Saints pulled it off, but still, there's a lot to take away from them. You know, I think the early part of the game, you know, what do you do if you're the Saints?
I do not know what you do in that early part of the game. Tom Savage, a newcomer in New Orleans.
Tom Savage is real.
10 of 14 for 70. Hold on to that roster spot, Tommy. Stay in the league. Get paid.
Bit ominous to open your season with Tom Savage throwing the first pass for you? I think so.
I mean, someone named DeVaro Lawrence, who I believe is a second-year undrafted guy, had 3 sacks playing with, you know, in the first half. So that's like, you know, for him, like that's what the preseason is about. Like you might end up seeing him playing a lot for the Saints, and we don't know who he is.
Moving on. We're just moving right along, guys. Oh, by the way, Mark, one more Browns note. That's 5 straight preseason wins for the Cleveland Browns dating back to last year.
They were undefeated last year in the preseason.
I know, and everyone talks about, oh, you went 0-16. And what I point to is what happened in August, and I say there's a lot of pride and accomplishment right there.
Moving on, the New England Patriots.
It's definitely the highlight of DeShone Kizer's Browns career was last August, I would say.
The New England Patriots were down 17-0 to the Redskins on Thursday night, but you know they never say die. Hey, go watch Super Bowl 51, am I right, Wes?
Absolutely.
Tom Brady didn't play. Rob Gronkowski did not play. Brian Hoyer played but didn't play very well. In fact, things got off to a really sore start for New England, and then some poor man working for the local affiliate in Boston, I think WBZ.
Steve Burton. Oh, he's a lifer.
Yeah, he's a lifer, Steve Burton. They dispatched that poor man. I don't know what he did to piss somebody off. They dispatch him down to the Patriots sideline to ask what Bill Belichick thought about the first quarter performance of the New England Patriots. Here is how that went.
Coach, preseason football is not about winning or losing.
Not
true. What did you hope to get out of the first half?
We need to do pretty much everything better, just not good enough in any area.
Was it good to see good situational football scoring at the end of the half anyway?
Yeah, about 38 seconds of good football.
That's the toughest job in sports media. Well, what do you?
He did come around and laugh at the end.
The funny thing is, I think like that's like a guy he gets along with because he's been there forever, and it's just like
he seemed pretty uncomfortable. Like there was even like an awkward handshake at the end because the guy didn't know what else to do. He's like, I don't have any other questions. Shake my hand, Bill.
This, Greg, this is how you do the breaking news drop.
Oh,
hit it.
Oh.
Speaking of the Patriots Redskins game,
yeah,
an injury to Darius Geis that was thought to be a torn MCL, Ian Rappaport is now reporting is a torn ACL.
Oh, brutal.
It's a killer for them. That whole offense was going to be based around him completely changing that ground game.
That, by the way, Greg, that is how you do it.
This is getting hard-hitting Dan reaction in real time.
Ooh, that's crushing because he was this guy who was a bit of a controversial figure on draft day. They bring him in, and he's lurking as a sleeper in that offense, a guy that could really
– Redskins have announced it, confirmed
it. So it's official. So he's out for the year, I assume?
Out for the
torn
year.
ACL.
One other note. We have one other bit of breaking news.
It's going to be a tough one to follow.
Redskins tight end Manasseh Garner also to miss the 2018 season with a torn ACL.
Okay, see, that's how you – That's not how you do it.
I thought it made a lot of sense, Mark. You got news. I just like the sound of the breaking news drop. Like
it's cool. Starting to.
So what Dan is saying is that he cares about some humans' health and happiness and their well-being, and he completely disregards.
That's
others.
Right, Greg. I think that Greg has summed this up appropriately.
What an unlikely tag team.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So guys, out for the year, and that is
Yikes.
Greg. That is. Crushing for a team that was really counting on an instant impact from guys.
Yeah, sadly, that's the biggest news from preseason week one, or at least Thursday night's action by far. I mean, it just changes what they want to do.
Oof,
Chris Thompson's
brutal.
Coming back from a serious injury. He's a third down back. They're now not calling Rob Kelly Fat Rob Kelly. He's now Fit Rob Kelly.
Better be.
And it looks like Fit Rob is going to have to be back in the mix. I would think as almost a starter for that team.
This might save Samaje Perine's roster spot.
Yeah. That's a shame because on the play he got hurt.
Oh, he looked great too.
Like that was the reason why, watching the little that I did, he was the guy I was most excited about watching other than Saquon Barkley. He just had such a fun style of running. And it wasn't like he had injury issues either in college.
What? The Redskins can't catch a break with injuries. That's awful. Last year, almost their whole offense went down, and now here you go. The guy that maybe you're most excited to watch.
There was an article in the Washington Post today, I believe, that since 2010, they are consistently among, if not the most injured teams in the NFL.
I think what the Redskins should do, you get the Gruden brothers together and combine the Raiders and Redskins into one team.
The Redskins.
Maybe this is an opportunity to just move away from the
or the Redders. Yeah.
Well, I think that's a roster. You put those two together.
That's a shame.
All right. That sucks.
One quick Pats takeaway. Derek Rivers, who missed all of his rookie year, is a big man, and they need a pass rusher. He looks a little like Willie McGinnis out there.
Wow.
He's coming off an ACL, right?
He's coming off an ACL, but he's looked pretty good. And Jason McCourty, who's a guy people just kind of slotted in, is going to be their starting cornerback, has been running with the third team in practices pretty often. Didn't even play last night. You might not get the McCourty brothers.
Well, how about this? You think Jeremy Hill iced a spot on the roster last night?
It's if everyone's healthy, it's probably him or Mike Gillisley, and he looked pretty good, Jeremy Hill.
And one more note on Tom Brady, probably would not have played in this game, but Boston Globe reporting he does have a sore back. Just keep an eye on these things. He's an old man.
That's what happens in old age.
You get old. You start feeling pains.
Back
that you
starts
didn't used
to get
feel.
Tweaked.
Get stiff.
Sciatica.
Remember Larry Bird laying on the parquet
yeah.
floor?
Yep, absolutely.
Laid
yep.
out.
And in the 92 Dream Team, he was on the floor for most of that.
Even as a child, you knew you can tell this man's career is ebbing slowly towards its conclusion.
There are limits.
In the same geographical reason that may be happening
limits
to New England's
human biology.
I'm going
to
say that Tom Brady is not moving the way Larry Bird was moving. He's moving a lot better than Larry Bird.
Larry Bird had retired like 6 years younger than Brady is now, 7 or 8.
Yeah.
He wasn't winning MVPs.
Father Time is undefeated, is all I'm saying.
Oh, we got Hoyer, so it's all good.
All right.
We. I know, Greg goes we for the first time.
I never use we. Hate the we.
That was great.
Hate the we.
Moving on, the Baltimore Ravens spanked the L.A. Rams. The L.A. Rams playing without Jared Goff and Todd Gurley. So let's not get too excited. In fact, he sat the entire starting lineup except for maybe one lineman, I believe, offensive lineman. So Sean McVay.
Yeah, who suspended to start the year. So even that made sense.
Right. So the Rams obviously have a certain strategy. Now the fans that are at the game are paying full price to see this. But that's a whole other conversation.
But they're in Baltimore, so I think they enjoyed it.
Did they? Don't you want to see stars? If you're paying, if you, I think we talked about this last year, but if you are a season ticket holder and they make you pay full price for the preseason games, the two preseason games,
yeah,
don't you deserve an NFL product?
Little Cooper Cup, yeah.
Because that was the thing, like, we growing up in Jets Giants territory, the only games you could go to because they were so expensive and you couldn't even get into Giants games were preseason games. And you go, I go watch Browns Jets in the preseason, and the players that you adore that are all over your childhood bedroom walls are in the game for 7 minutes.
Right.
What are you doing there?
Maybe a solution. Oh, Dan, stop being a jerk. What's your solution? It's like 25% of a real football game, so charge like 25% of what a regular season ticket is for those two games.
You're not being a jerk. You're a man from a cool town working out for the working class customer.
Listen, where I grew up, it was hard to get any football tickets. And we, with my dad, we would go to a lot of the preseason games because those are the tickets that would be floating around. The guys that got stuck where my dad worked down in the coal mine.
It's free.
Yeah, they'd be like, hey, do you want to take these two tickets? And they'd come up. They put the two tickets in the bucket at the bottom of the coal mine, and then they shimmy it up.
Well, hold on.
And then I would, the little boy, the big blue eyes, I'd be looking down that well, and I'd be like, Dada? And I wouldn't see my dad, but then I'd see the two, like the Jets versus the Dolphins preseason action, or Jets-Eagles, and then we'd be off to the Meadowlands.
Two notes. Odd to play a division foe in the preseason. Secondly, why bring the tickets down into the coal mine? It feels like you'd keep those in an envelope at home.
As a boy, I was kept shielded from what happened down in the coal mine.
Well, so was your whole family, but
and
yes.
As was your dad, who didn't work there.
Honestly, I don't
or
love talking about
which
this.
Didn't happen.
There's a code to PR, Pearl River, that we don't talk about what happens down in the coal mine, so I would appreciate it if you stop asking what's happening down the shaft.
That is my job, to ask those questions.
Anyway, point being, you know, these preseason, they were fun as a boy to go to, but with a free ticket, I'm sure it didn't hurt Dad as much. Okay.
It's kind of a playful song for the coal mines. Someone just had a nice little riff at the end there.
Well, the music is a release for us. It's a way to express that, yeah, sometimes times are tough, but we're a community and we celebrate.
Okay, we'll let it fly.
With a guitar.
We'll let it fly this time.
Listen, you asked the follow-up question. I made the comment.
By the way, can I point out one box score that is putrid?
By the way, shout out to Keith Hansis, who had knee replacement surgery.
Get well, Keith.
Get well soon. He's moving. He's like Namath now. He has a fake knee that is going to ramp up his quality of life significantly, so we're excited.
Good opportunity to sit down and listen to this show a little bit, I'd imagine.
He listens to every show.
It's
Keith,
tough.
But,
I mean,
yeah.
it puts a lot of stress on your knee in the coal mine.
Yeah,
you know,
you can only imagine.
I'm just glad he doesn't have black lung.
He survived that. The lungs are intact, thank God.
Joe Flacco looked good, by the way. I mean, he is moving better. He made a throw moving to his left 30 yards down the field. And I know people are like, well, he's playing the backups. No, you just have to watch the game. He's moving better. He looked really – like he looked like he was moving better than he had in a couple
How
years
do you
and
keep,
made a couple of throws that were beautiful.
Here's the thing, though. Watching Lamar Jackson run, it's kind of like Josh Allen throwing the ball. The way that Lamar Jackson just sort of winds his way through defenders for suddenly 12 yards, 13, 14 yards, and no one knows what to do with him. I don't know how you keep him off the field.
Can you
I don't
do
know,
that, though?
I'm
Can
not
you
saying
be a quarterback
starting
and
quarterback.
Do that?
No, NFL teams don't want you to.
I think
he's
he,
doing
I think
fine
he
so
could
far.
Be Michael. I think he could be Michael Vick-like, where, yes, you can do it.
He has not been lights out in these first two preseason games throwing the ball by any measure, but yes, there's other aspects to his game.
The Rams are saying that there's reports, not the Rams are saying that Sean Mannion, who we were crowing about a couple years ago here,
we were?
Well, just as this sort of sneaky guy.
I don't
that
remember that.
No, remember? No, remember?
Is this heat light?
The Rams really like Sean Mannion. They're really excited
that.
About
the
Sean
Bears.
Mannion.
Yeah, the Rams.
He hit 3 for 13 with an interception, and they said that he's really been struggling in camp, so we'll see.
All right, moving on. Did I say a final score in that game, by the way? Because it was
33-7.
What a wasting.
What a crash down to back to earth for the Rams after their all
Must
the excitement
this
offseason.
Well, you know,
Must
we were
win.
Told that whenever we appear at a Rams event like we did for the playoff game, that we are bad luck. We were told that by the team, a high-up executive on the team, and within days of our arrival at Rams camp, they get stoned by the Ravens in Baltimore.
Wow, we were not at this game.
Well.
Moving on, the Houston Texans and Kansas City Chiefs. Deshaun Watson made his return to the field after missing the end of last year with an ACL tear. He did not do much. I think he played one series. What did you see maybe from any of the quarterbacks, including Patrick Mahomes?
Absolutely Wes? Nothing. This is a zero takeaways game. Deshaun Watson threw one pass for 4 yards. He only played one series. They got him out healthy. He looked fine. Patrick Mahomes played two series. Both ended in punts. Took a sack and overthrew Travis Kelce on the second series. That's all really you can take from this game, I think. I didn't keep a close eye on the second half because I was writing Josh Allen and other things.
Hey, no need to explain yourself.
But the starting quarterbacks, like the coaches just didn't give us much to go on here.
How was Step Durham's one snap at left cornerback, number 47, Wes?
The man's name is Step.
He has a 0.0 on PFF, so they didn't think much positive or anything.
I didn't scout him.
Brandon Whedon, who came up, led a 12-play 68-yard scoring drive. Capped by a 6-yard touchdown pass to rookie tight end Jordan Akins.
Quarterback controversy.
Interesting. And Eric Berry, by the way, in case you're wondering, coming back from Achilles surgery, did not play in the game.
Something weird's going on with Jadeveon Clowney. They're saying he's not in football shape. There's a contract situation looming.
It's not practicing.
That's been on my radar. Like, what's something going on?
Yeah, I think you might be right about that.
The difference between the way your radar works and the way Mark's
works. Up next, let's talk about the Green Bay Packers and Tennessee Titans. Matt LaFleur. That's how I pronounce it, if you want the correct French-based pronunciation.
LaFleur?
Matt LaFleur. For his first game as offensive coordinator, and a lot of people think this could unlock Marcus Mariota. And Mariota only had one drive, but the Titans marched down the field, 8 plays, 71 yards for a touchdown, 3 passes, 1 run by Mariota. So far, so good, Greg Rosenthal.
Yeah, and I think from, you know, the Packers winning 31-17, it's like Aaron Rodgers read them the Riot Act and they responded.
That's so true. You're so right.
It's up there leadership. With relax.
That's leadership.
Who is it? Martellus Bennett said this week in some interview that Aaron Rodgers, the best pure thrower of any quarterback he's played with, but Tom Brady, the better quarterback just because of the intangibles as well and being a teammate. Well, maybe Marty Bennett should take a look at what happened today with on Thursday night with Green Bay, how they reacted.
Well, maybe
to the
he changed his opinion now.
Maybe.
This could turn the tide.
Feels likely the preseason opener would have that kind of gravitas.
Brett Hundley looks like he's ahead of your boy Deshaun Kizer right now for the backup job.
Whose boy is that? Your?
Mark's.
Mark's?
No, he's not my boy.
It's not good news for Deshaun Kizer or Mike McCarthy.
Packers do have some interesting young receivers, though. This guy Marquez Valdez-Scantling. I like the name to begin with. Doesn't sound real. But 101 yards last night. And Jake Kumerow, he had a big 52-yard. Big 52-yard bomb TD, and Rodgers was going nuts on the sideline. I don't know what's going on with Aaron Rodgers and Jake Kumerow.
I think Rodgers adopted him.
I don't know.
Something interesting about that situation. Davante Adams had a 48-yard catch. By the way, top 5 fantasy wide receiver, Davante Adams. And by the way, coming up next week, next Wednesday, our Fantasy Extravaganza 2018. So as a little tease for what the people can expect, Davante Adams, a guy to really target, maybe round 2 in a PPR league.
You know, my first instinct was that sounds strong just because Davante Adams isn't thought of as a Julio Jones or an Antonio Brown. But he has more TDs, receiving TDs, than anyone else over the last 2 years. And with Jordy Nelson out of the picture, you have to figure he's going to be a target monster this year. You know he's the first look in the red zone.
Mid-second round pick, though. You're kind of paying for it. I'm not into that because I'm looking at Keenan. Here are guys taken after him: Keenan Allen, AJ Green, Mike Evans, T.Y. Hilton. It's like I'd rather have all those.
That's fair.
That's fair, dog. That's fair, dog. All right, moving on.
Hey, Dan.
Yeah.
Did you get your passport?
No, not since we last spoke.
You'd better get on that. You'd better get on that.
I am.
You can't travel abroad without a passport.
Where?
You can't travel to London without a passport. Hey, Dan.
What?
Better get your passport.
This is passive aggressive. This whole song
is passive aggressive. You're not going to London without a passport. Are you dumb?
Okay, where are we?
That wasn't really passive at the end.
No, that was pretty aggressive. Just straight
Wait,
aggressive.
The funny thing about that, there's literally nothing you can do at this point.
No.
You're simply waiting on government agencies to get your passport.
We are
Well, you could have maybe
this.
Had a working passport before this
that
all
might
happened.
That would have been a functional answer. Well,
some people get to gallivant to Japan and back every year. Not all of us have that in the cards. We can't even afford to fly.
Some of us have a sort of an odd fear of leaving the country.
Or
also.
What about Canada? I mean, it's just good to have just
what
in
I,
case.
What I like or the Mexico. Canadians, so what do I have to go to Canada for?
Mexico. It's very close. You just never know.
Boy, if I didn't have my passport yet, I would be riddled with anxiety.
That's what I'm saying.
I think that's true.
Today is August 10th, and we're leaving in exactly 3 weeks.
Did you get the expedited version and whatnot?
I was in the window where I didn't need to do that.
No.
I got the expedited
See, you don't do, you don't just, you know.
I would have gotten that expedited. And,
this is on you.
I recently had to do the same thing before I went to Mexico, and I was under the same situation. You actually cannot try to get the expedited one unless you're within the window.
I got the expedited one a few weeks ago, and it arrived
a week. I know what you're talking about, Lindsay. That's a different scenario where if you were inside a certain window, you can get it almost day of. I wasn't
like
in that window. That wasn't
window.
An option.
Oh, okay.
There is
okay.
for a
you
higher
can pay
fee.
More. You can pay more.
You can get the expedited. I said, hey, I'm in the window. Daddy's in the window. Well, guess what? Daddy's in hot water right now.
Now daddy's in the anxiety window.
I mean, ultimately,
you do
from
have
a,
3 weeks.
Wes, you handled this correctly by doing – you paid a little bit of extra money to get this thing
right.
done. Dan is sitting in limbo, and we have chorus singers counseling him at
You're
this
a
point,
professional.
So.
Really, I absolutely loathe –
the professional passport.
I loathe paperwork. So to me, it was like I'm willing to pay this extortion rate to get rid of the anxiety that I know Dan is currently
This is an upset because we kind of talked about before all this happened that Wes versus paperwork is one of the biggest position battles, one of the biggest grudge matches of the last 10 years, at least in my life.
I've done nothing wrong. I did the paperwork within the window. It just, you know, listen.
You're going to be all right.
Will the government fail me is the question.
How could the American government possibly let you down?
Worst case scenario, Neil hosts like 3 shows that week for us.
Worst case scenario, you get arrested.
By the way, this is happening again, by the way. This comes up almost every week now. Greg starts the daydream about a different host.
It's not only on the show. It's down in the newsroom. Yeah. He'll go off on these
Over
reveries.
Text.
It's like everyone's joking around. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, the next thing is so-and-so's the host.
Like you just wouldn't be on the show for, like, maybe 3 weeks, but maybe it would extend to maybe a couple months you wouldn't be on the show, and we'd have to find a workaround.
It was Erin Coscarelli was floated, I believe, at one point.
Yes, she's being considered right
Earlier
now,
this week, who was it
Well,
earlier?
We have to be prepared. If there's, like, a car accident, I know there's a replacement me down there in the newsroom. There's a replacement for all of us.
Dan and Coscarelli aren't allowed to travel on the same airplane.
That's right.
All right. Finally, one last game to talk about. The renewal of an old rivalry. One of the greats, 49ers and Cowboys. And here we go. It starts with a 24-21 win for the Niners. Listen, this is a game I don't have any awareness of, so somebody else jump in.
I think the bigger takeaway here than the Jimmy Garoppolo side, which was, you know, he really didn't play that much and we need to see more of him, was that we had Cole Beasley come out and say that the Dallas wide receiving core was going to shock people. I don't know if they shocked people. I wouldn't say that. But Michael Gallup, using his speed, made an incredible touchdown catch off a beautiful pass from Dak Prescott to open the game. Then the Dallas offense essentially went off the field. There was no Ezekiel Elliott, but a nice start for him. And they need him to step up and be a starter right away, and he looked the part yesterday.
I'm not saying these are the two best uniforms in the NFL, but I've noticed the last couple of times this matchup has occurred. This is the best uniform matchup because they complement each other. So it's a clean, crisp look when these two teams
And as we talked about last night, it's the other thing about it, they haven't gone and changed the uniform 25 times.
Right.
So it reminds you of when they played back when it was Aikman versus Steve Young and back in those days and previous rivalries too.
I'm glad Dak went out there and did something positive, not just because people have been freaking out that their offense has struggled in camp, but that graffiti mural of him that puts him in the sunken place that looks like the get out thing like that. That haunts me. Like I don't know if I can look at Dak Prescott the same way. I guess it's an effective piece
it's
of
unfair
art
to him.
Maybe it is unfair.
Where is this graffiti?
It's in Dallas.
It is just, I don't know. There's something about that. I have not stopped thinking about that since I saw
it's
that.
Effective.
It was effective.
The context, of course, being that Dak Prescott has said openly and publicly that he believes everyone should stand for the anthem.
And that he's, you know, supporting everything Jerry Jones said.
So siding with his owner.
And the ownership, you know, and Jerry Jones said, like, just, I believe, yesterday, Thursday, you know, like, I love everything that Dak said. And I don't know. There's something to it. So I'm not worried about Dak Prescott. That he's had a tough training camp either.
One little Niners note that this game, they started yanking starters immediately by the end of the first quarter because they lost George Kittle, their tight end, to a shoulder injury. Matt Breida to a shoulder injury. They had, I think it was Solomon Thomas, left with a head injury.
With a concussion,
Concussion. They had a guy with a hamstring, too. I mean, they had
five
guys leave the game in the first 10 minutes. It's like, evacuate ship.
Feels like Kittle's injury, I believe this morning they said it was not serious.
Yep.
Two more notes in the D.C. area. The Ravens, 2-0. 2-0 start. So
halfway
the Ravens
there.
Nest
well,
is squawking right now.
Well, they're the only team that can go 5-0. That's the advantage of playing in the Hall of Fame game.
Absolutely.
They control their own destiny. Their magic number right now is 3.
You just get goosebumps thinking what could happen once you
5-0 beats 4-0.
The last week of the preseason, if they have that opportunity, so we'll track that breathlessly. Also, speaking of that area, so Geis, again, that's a bombshell. The rookie second-round pick for the Redskins out for the year with a torn ACL. Does it open the door, Wes, for your boy Adrian Peterson to get a job?
That's a good question. My assumption is that they'll turn to Rob Kelly and Samaje Perine first, with Chris Thompson playing on passing downs. I just feel like they would look in house on that one.
If ever there was a team, though, I could kind of it just somehow makes a little sense that they'd give Peterson a shot. You know, not every team I think would. And
feel like a Dan Snyder.
It kind of makes sense because you have your passing down back. You really don't have options that you like at all for the power downs.
You're under the impression they don't like Rob Kelly and Samaje Perine.
No,
Fit Rob?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. Maybe they didn't like Fat Rob, but they like Fit Rob.
Maybe.
All right, we will be back on Monday, and we'll recap the rest of the preseason action.
Special guest on Monday, too.
Very special guest. I don't want to even say it yet.
No. Just but hold on to it.
A pretty big fish in the entertainment
sector. It's a genuine superstar. If it happens.
A legend of his field. And I'm not talking about Evan Silva. I'm talking about well, –
And it's a
we'll
he, so
wait.
Let's – no, it's not Little Debbie. We're holding her for another time.
Of course.
No, he said
it would have to be the most famous person ever on this podcast.
Yes. Maybe Little Debbie adjacent.
Adjacent to Little Debbie.
We'll get to it. You'll find out, hopefully, unless this person does not actually come on the show. And then – everyone will just be annoyed about us, as usual. All right, that's it. This is Dan Hansen signing off for Quiet Storm, the mailman, the old boss, and Lindsay Fulton behind the glass. Bitcoin Princess, why not?
Bitcoin Princess.
Like that.
Till Monday.